理课堂听 class.com
Chapter 7 An Unknown Type of Whale. I was astonished to be thrown into the sea that I did not realize I had gone down nearly 20 feet under water. I am a good swimmer, and quickly reached the surface of the water to look for the ship. Had the crew seen me disappear? Would I be rescued? Darkness was all around. I saw a dark object leaving to the east. It was the Abraham Lincoln. I was lost. Help! Help! I shouted, swimming towards the ship. My clothes were heavy on my body and kept me from swimming quickly. I was sinking. I couldn't breathe. Help! My mouth then filled with water and went underwater before suddenly feeling a strong arm carry me to the surface again.
If Master would hold on to my shoulder, Master would swim much easier.
I quickly grabbed his shoulder. Is it you? I asked.
Yes,
Conseil answered. Were you thrown into the sea as well?
No, but after I saw my master fall into the sea, I followed him.
And the ship?
I think my master should not think about the ship any longer,
Conseil responded calmly.
The ship was terribly damaged by the monster's teeth.
Then we are lost!
Perhaps we are,
Conseil answered.
However, we still have several hours left.
We continued to swim, and Conseil's calm manner greatly eased me, although our situation was still quite terrible. The sea was quite calm now, which helped us greatly as we swam. The accident with the sea animal had happened at 11 o'clock. By 1 o'clock, I could swim no longer. Conseil offered to carry me as he swam, but after some time his breathing became quick, and he was having great difficulty in swimming, and I knew then that we could not continue this way much longer. "Leave me! Leave me!" I said to him.
"Leave my master? Never,"
he replied.
"I would rather drown first."
At that moment, the moon appeared, and I saw the ship in the distance, only 5 miles away. My eagerness returned, and I was again able to swim. I would have cried out, but did not have the energy. I soon heard Conseil yell for help, and after a few moments, we heard another voice.
"Did you hear that?" I whispered.
"Yes, yes."
We began swimming towards the voice, but as we were swimming, I lost all the strength I had left, and soon was underwater when I felt a strong arm again carry me to the surface. When I awakened again, I was lying on a floating island. I saw that it was not Conseil who had rescued me this time, but the strong arm of Ned Land. "Ned!" I cried. After being thrown from the ship, Ned had quickly found the floating island and immediately went to it before spotting us many hours later. After looking around, however, I realized that we were not on a floating island, but rather resting on the back of the giant narwhal. Ned then explained that his spear had not entered the animal's skin because it was made of strong iron. I was shocked to hear this announcement. We were not on the back of a sea animal, but rather sitting on the top of a submarine. Just then, this mysterious submarine began to move. Luckily, the submarine remained on the surface of the water, moving at a rather slow speed. Soon enough, the submarine stopped, and a hole at the surface was opened, A man was then seen, coming from the inside. He said something, although I did not know the language he spoke. Then he quickly disappeared inside again. A few moments later, 8 strong men appeared and silently took us down into their mystery machine. Chapter 8. Inside the Submarine. This was finished quickly and in silence. Who were these men? Perhaps some new sea thieves, exploring the oceans in their own manner. Just as we were safely inside, the opening was closed, and we were again surrounded by darkness. We were alone. When I looked around, attempting to see in the darkness, Ned Land spoke with great anger, and Conseil attempted to calm him. After waiting in the darkness for nearly half an hour, light suddenly appeared all around us. The same electric light I had seen surrounding the submarine. A door was then opened, and 2 men walked into the room. One was short, very muscular, with thick black hair on his head. He looked to be from southern France. The second stranger I will explain in more detail. He had calm confidence with intelligent black eyes, pale skin, and a tall, strong body. Whether this person was 35 or 50, I did not know, but he was the most self-assured person I had ever seen, with the look of a strong leader. The taller of the two, the leader, examined us quietly for a few moments before saying something to the other stranger. I did not understand a word of their strange language. After speaking for a few moments, they both stared at me in silence. I then told them in good French that I did not know his language, but they seemed not to understand me, and I became quite embarrassed.
"Perhaps if Master told them our story," said Conseil, "the gentleman would understand the words."
I began to explain our adventure, speaking clearly, announcing our names as well. They listened politely in silence, but still seemed not to understand. When I finished, they said nothing. I then began speaking in English. Perhaps they would then understand. Ned then continued the explanation in English, but the men still said nothing. Conseil then offered to tell our story in German, but the men still did not understand. I attempted an explanation in Latin, but they were silent. The 2 men, after a few moments of silence, spoke a few words in their mysterious language before leaving the room again.
"We spoke to those men in French, English, German, and Latin, and they were rude enough not to respond once,"
Ned exclaimed after the 2 men left the room. "Calm yourself," I said to him. "Anger will not help us now."
"But, Professor, do you not see that we will soon die of hunger in this prison?"
Ned responded. "We must not worry yet," I said. "We must wait. We still know nothing about the captain of this submarine."
"I believe him to be our enemy,"
Ned replied angrily. "We still do not know, nor do we know where they come from. The 2 men look to be from southern Europe. Perhaps they are Spaniards, or even Arabians or Indians. Their language must be quite difficult for us to understand."
"That is the disadvantage of not having one language used around the world,"
said Conseil. Just then, the door opened, and a new man brought us clothes and coats. I did not know what the material was made of, but we were quite content to have warm clothes. While we changed clothing, the man brought in our meal on high-quality plates of silver. The table looked like the dining room of a grand hotel. The dishes were all excellent, but I could not recognize what we were eating. During the meal, I noticed that each spoon, fork, knife, and plate had a letter and a phrase carved into it, Mobilis in mobili. The letter N was certainly the first initial of the name of that mysterious captain who had come in to examine us. The phrase, Mobilis in mobili, comes from Latin, meaning changing within change. Ned and Conseil ate their food quickly, as did I. I was then a bit more relaxed, as I realized these mysterious men were not going to let us die of hunger. After finishing our meal, we were ready for sleep.
I shall sleep well tonight,
said Conseil.
So shall I,
replied Ned Land. My two friends were soon asleep on the floor, but I was still too concerned with our situation to sleep. Where were we? What machine were we now inside? Perhaps in the depths of the ocean.